Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca IFIS 2017 preliminary results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giovanni Bossi, Chief Executive Officer of Banca IFIS. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello to everybody. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Giovanni Bossi speaking. I'm pleased to comment the preliminary results that the Board of Directors of Banca IFIS approved this morning. These results are good and, moreover, encouraging for the expected growth in the next years. The fourth quarter is absolutely positive in all business segments. Our bank decisions are always taken looking at the three pillars of our action. The three pillars are profitability, solidity, and control of liquidity. As regards profitability, the preliminary results indicate that the net profit is 181 million euro, and this means that the return on equity is near 14%. And allow me to say that in the last 15 years, the Banca IFIS ever delivered a return on equity higher than 10%, in some years higher than 20% and even 30%. As regards solidity, solidity means, first of all, equity, and our equity is at the end of the year, 1,369,000,000 euro, with a common equity tier 1 that is 15.6% on an individual basis for Banca IFIS. And this is a confirm of the level of control of the regulatory capital we have. Just for your information, the total capital ratio is higher than 21%. And as regards liquidity, the funding is growing on a steady basis. This year, at the end of 2017, we showed 7.7 billion of funding. That is far higher, more than 10% than 1 year before. Just this is just to let you have a picture, a very high level picture of the situation. But I leave the floor to Mara Di Giorgio, Investor Relations, that will accompany you during the figures and in the business segment results. Mara.
Hi, hello, good afternoon, everyone. I would like to go straight to slide number 3, where we just outline the differences, between 2016 full year numbers and 2017. So it's not possible, really, looking at the numbers, to have a right away comparison, a like-for-like comparison. But you need to take into consideration, and I'm referring to slide 3 again, to the one-off, or details, particular details, that in 2016 made that fiscal year a very singular and particular, I would say, unique one. So one of the biggest things that makes differences in comparing fourth quarter results 2016 and 17 is the 15.8 million euro of one-off positive impact coming from the adoption of the new model, that we accounted in trade receivables, net banking income margin. during the entire year, quarter by quarter, we mentioned to you that we restated based on our recalculation of the new internal transfer rates, the cost of funding allocated in the different segments. And that, of course, is important, okay, because, again, stated fiscal year 2016 numbers and recalculated figures that we already gave to you makes a difference in understanding the changes, the percentage changes. I don't need really to mention that at the end of 2016 we recognize what we are calling one day in profit, okay, due to the acquisition made at the end of November last year of the Interbank Group, which price, final price, was really agreed during 2017 at 109.4 million euros, and that had some impact on net profit and some balance sheet lines, let's say. 2016, we consolidate just for 1 month Interbank Group data. And, of course, that means that for some segments it doesn't make any sense to have the comparison between results. And the reversal of the PPA during 2016, 1 month, was around 10 million euros on net banking income margin again. So going to the preliminary results, page number 4, of this fiscal year, so not this, 2017 fiscal year, okay, net banking income, group consolidated net banking income reached the level of 519.6 million euro as compared to 326 the previous one, so it means plus 59.4%. By segment, the higher contribution is on the right side of the slide. It comes from the NPL area. This is really in line with what we were forecasting. The accelerated growth in the bank is coming from this segment, so from the NPL. And today, that is this segment is contributing to net banking income by 13.7%. But let's speak, as usual, on, let's say, looking at the different segments. Trade receivables, the first one. Trade receivables, net banking income decreased by 11.9% to 130.8 million euro. But listen to me, excluding the one-off positive effect reported last year, so the 15.8 million euro that I mentioned related to the pharma segment last year, okay, the decrease was only 1.4%. But moreover, in the fourth quarter, and this is really the big surprise for me in this segment by this year, okay, fourth quarter like-for-like growth was plus 7%. And that growth was achieved either in terms of interest rates increase and commissions. So what does it mean this? Likely, this is the first positive signal after quarters of the, let's say, expected reposition of the bank in the market towards much more small and micro, let's say, companies, where interest rate margins can be achieved at higher levels with lower pressure. And this means for us, let's say, probably the starting point of a new trend. So again, we are very pleased to give to the market this first result of plus 7% like-for-like growth trade receivable segment. At the same time, in the fourth quarter, we provision more than expected, but again, this is not bad as it seems, because we provision in particular for one significant position okay, a considerable amount, but again, it's one singular position. Excluding that position, okay, the cost of credit, but we will see later in the next and coming slide related to the trade receivable, okay, the cost of credit would have been 70 basis points, which again, for our business, is not bad. Corporate banking includes, as always, medium long-term finance, structured finance, workout and recovery. Net banking income of this segment achieved 146.1 million euro and includes net banking income coming from ordinary lending, which reached the level of 36 million euro, and the reversal of the PPA equal to 109.9 million, more than forecasted at the beginning of the year. Provisions are positive and included 28.4 million coming from the debt collection and finalization of restructuring actions taken during 2017. As far as leasing is concerned, it realized almost 63 million euro, thanks to the growth achieved either in terms of loans and market share. The reversal on the PPA on net banking income in this segment was equal to 10.9, and I want just to focus your attention that reversal on the PPA in this segment has to deal with a portfolio of mortgages that we have included at the time of the acquisition in this segment. Tax receivables increased by 17%. And now I'm very pleased about the NPL area. NPL, after the first quarter in which the results were not really in line with market expectations, today I can say that the fourth quarter of 2017 was the best ever result achieved. So, what can I say? We increased in the quarter the margin about over 135% net banking income result. It's amazing the kind of result achieved by the collection channels, which are working, let's say, in the servicing, in the captive servicing, for, let's say, as an industrial and efficient machine, the best in Italy, having achieved a result that no one, no other institution was able to achieve in the same period. So I'm very happy about the fact that all the colleagues were able to really make, to add additional efficiency in the already state-of-the-art, let's say, technology and platform that we had. We're able to motivate in the correct way the collection people on the field and on the phone, and this is not a result achieved with not pushing and not being enough motivated in every single day of the quarter. So again, 136, okay, increasing margin, this is the result that we give to the market. Let's go to page number 5 now. Let's speak about trade receivable segment, okay, in particular in the details. The dynamics of the year reflect the strong push toward the business focus on micro companies, and after 3 quarters we said we can say that we finally report a growth in net banking income supported by a stronger than expected increase in turnover. What I can add here is that the loans, okay, decreased by 1.7, okay, and we increased the turnover by 11%. DSOs, okay, of the segment decreased during the year from 124 days to 109 in 2017. And this explains, on one side, the negative sign on loans, but the double-digit growth in reported in turnover. Net provisions already commented, and as a consequence, the cost of credit was 115 basis points, but net, again, of the significant one unique significant position, the cost of credit would have been 70 basis points. Going to slide number 6, corporate banking. Here we can say that the activity in lending with new loans aggregated at a profitability in line with the announced one at the time of the strategic plan make us very confident that opportunities and needs exist in the market. You see that the new loans aggregated were 420 million euros, okay? The loans were growing in 2017 by 17%, and the cost of credit, again, was positive due to release of previous provisions and reversal of the PPA. Leasing, the following slide. Thanks to a strong focus on the quality of the service and new product teams during the year, together with the introduction also of digital tools, mainly during the last quarter, leasing is steadily growing and acquiring market share. At the end of 2017, we have these two impressive numbers that we give to the market, to the financial market and to our shareholders. Loans growing 12.4% and market share 2.7% in volumes. The previous year was 2.4%. Nothing more here, really. NPL, following slide. If you compare this picture with the 9 months, just to understand what happens in the fourth quarter, you can see that the acceleration of the captive servicing industrial machine was mainly transforming the credit. So, last line, what is called waiting for the workout, okay, in the 9 months was waiting for 28%. This time, even if the gross book value has increased, is waiting only for 19%. So, reading the numbers, NPL gross portfolio 2.5 today was 3.6 in the 9 months. And please take into consideration that in the last quarter we bought 700 million euros of gross book portfolios. This means that we were able to accelerate the transformation from a stock which is accounted at historical price to another line, so another stock, which is accounting at a different prices that goes from 13% to 22% to 36% mainly, but even the processed at least one time line increased. The boost of the activity, comes really from the big increase in the first three lines of the slide. So, legal factory and what we call legal recovery department. So, order of assignment and judicial ongoing workout. This is, the big jump, where the big jump is recognized. Again, what we were able to do during the fourth quarter is really to boost towards the transformation of a non-interest stock, to the collection of on the field and by call, and on the legal area, accelerating the collection rates. Just to give you a number, this is the first time that I'm giving you this number, from the portfolios that we bought from 2015, looking at our forecast of cash, okay, we were able to bring in-house, to cash in, okay, over 130% more than expected cash for portfolios managed and bought after 2015. So cash is on those portfolios are really, let's say, is the collection is performing very, very well, okay, either in cash and in all the other channels. Going to the following slide, where we have the insights on the NPL area, okay, these are just three numbers that are giving you the size and the dimension of our business as compared to the others. So the gross book value portfolio is 13 billion. We acquired during 2017 4.7 billion. Is really, again, a number never achieved before in a singular year. And net book portfolio is equal to almost 800 million euro. Tax receivables. In tax receivables, there are, let's say, we repeat in the fourth quarter the same trends that we already commented on the 9 months results. So, on one side, the business unit was very good in acquiring new portfolios, okay, almost 80 million euros of new portfolios acquired, with very strong cash in at the same time, 77 million euros of cash. And this has, let's say, reduced, this, for this reason, the net book value portfolio has been reduced at the end of the year 2017 as compared to 2016. Going to the following slide, so net profit slide, here I would say some details. I would mention some details, mainly on numbers, on costs. First of all, the cost income. Okay, cost income 49.3%. For the people, for the analysts, for the fund managers, shareholders, and stakeholders who follow us during the presentation of the strategic plan, this number was expected to be higher. Okay, so we are really recording a lower than expected cost income for 2017. Said that, in terms of cost of personnel, that increased by 11%, but again, last year we had here only 1 month of Interbanca colleagues cost, this year 12 months. Okay, so that's the reason of the increase, the main reason of the increase. Anyway, during the year, over 100 people were hired in the group. Other expenses increased by 20.9%. The growth is mainly related to the ICT investments and in the new core banking and in the new CRM for the entire group. And also, we include here some new digital platforms developed at the end of the year, as, again, expected. You know that on digital innovation, we're investing a lot, and that is the focus for, let's say, looking forward in terms of relationship and strong relationship with our customers. No branches, digital platforms. Finally, 9 million euro refers to the resolution fund and FIDT in other expenses, and another big part is related to the growth of the NPL area, mainly legal costs, direct costs linked to the growth of the business. I would like to mention that in these costs we include also the duties paid for the Rendimax clients, let's say. Probably you already know that from the beginning of this year these duties are not anymore paid by the bank. Going to the asset quality and NP trend slide, total loans increased by 8.6%. Apparently, okay, being the percentage of the impaired assets increased from 972 million in 2016 to 1.2 billion in 2017, or from 20% to 23% impaired assets, it seems that the risk of this bank is increasing. That's not true. And I'm going to detail by asset class. First of all, NPLs. The total SMEs net NPLs amount to 75.5 million this year versus 65 million last year, with a coverage of 90.7% versus 92%, well over, as you know, the market average. By segment, trade receivables and corporate banking are almost stable, whereas leasing shows an increase due to a prudent accounting reclassification related to the portfolio of mortgages that I was mentioning before, acquired at the time of Interbank Group acquisition, nothing more than that. The unlikely to pay for 2017 were at the level of 212 million euro from 207 million euro, with a coverage ratio at 43.8% level, again over average of the banking sector. In detail, by segment, in trade receivables, the increase is due to the individually significant position that widely involved the banking sector and I mentioned before. In the other two segments, the amount of unlikely to pay decreased. As far as past due exposure, as many times we already mentioned, that has to deal with the public administration business, nothing more than that. So, as far as the credit quality SMEs lending, in the following page we are just showing you some ratios by the different segments that are composing the total SMEs, let's say, business sector. Okay, and again, the coverage for the different segments goes from 80.9% to 93.5%. It's absolutely, let's say, a very strong coverage ratio on NPLs over average banking sector, and as well the numbers on NPE coverage goes from 58% to 77.5%. As far as the liabilities structure, in the press release we mention all, let's say, the different areas where we focus our efforts during 2017. I don't want to repeat any single, let's say, line in terms of activity that on which we focus our let's say, work, daily job, but I would like just to summarize the rationale that drive us during 2017. On one side, the cost efficiency, looking at a better margin on asset liabilities, let's say, asset and liabilities management, and on the other, the diversification of the funding sources with the aim to reduce the retail contribution on total funding. So today we are at the level of more or less 66% coming from the retail funding. The goal for us at the end of the strategic plan is to reach 53-55%. Going to the slide on equity, here I would like just to point out the group Banca IFIS group KPIs, okay? And probably all of you has already seen on the press release, in the last part of the press release, the part related to the merger, let's say, expected reverse merger between the holding company, La Scogliera, and Banca IFIS, with the aim of reducing the control chain, of reinforcing, let's say, the capital ratios at the regulation level, okay, and with the aim to be, let's say, much more, I would say, efficient in a way in the group. Anyway, the capital ratios that we are presenting today here are already very strong. 15.6% common equity ratio, common equity tier one ratio, okay, as well as 21% total own fund capital ratio. So very solid, very prepared that to achieve future growth. Now, I would leave to Mr. Bossi for the last slide. And
thank you, Mara. Okay. The preliminary guidance as regards dividends is, as you probably have seen from the press release, to issue €1 per share. That is far higher than the 82 cents of last year. And this is, of course, also a consequence of the position in terms of common equity tier 1 of Banca IFIS and in total capital ratio of Banca IFIS. So, fine, on this point, the expected improvement in the regulatory capital arising from the reverse merge that the process of which has been started today, while we expect to close the reverse merge in the central part of the year, maybe this summer. And this aspect will allow me to say that we are confident dividend policy will be good also for the future. Allow me just to recap that in the last 4 years, starting from 2014 till 2017, included, we realized more than 1.1 billion of profit, net profit. We more than double the net loans to the economy, to the real economy. We increased in a very significant manner the funding, the funds and the deposits. We increased 3 times, something less than 3 times, the average weighted risks, maintaining a common equity tier 1 higher than 15% through the cycle, with a net equity that has more than tripled, with maintaining a non-performing loan ratio on the core activities that is in the last 4 years has even been in the area of 1%. So I could say that this figure is an extraordinary one. So put in evidence that the new size of the bank is strong in terms of sustainable profits, assets, equity. The KPIs are strong, are solid, the bank is in good health, and it is ready to achieve next challenges.
Okay, operator, we are ready for the Q&A section.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Giuseppe Mapelli with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have some questions. The first one is on the merger, the reverse merger between La Scogliera and Banca IFIS. I'm seeing that there is quite a significant impact on the core tier 1 as, let's say, you go down something like 400 basis points. Historically, the difference between, let's say, the Banca IFIS and the Banca IFIS plus La Scogliera Tier 1 was negligible in a region of 100 basis points. Can you help me understanding what is the reason behind these differences? My second question is on factoring trade receivable. You underlined that you are experiencing a little bit of increase of, let's say, of margins thanks to your repositioning towards smaller, let's say, SMEs. I would like to understand what is the competitive scenario that you are experiencing there, and leaving aside this repositioning, if there is still significant pressure on margins on the market. And last question is on the loan loss provision on the corporate banking division, as in the 9 months results were higher than the one, significantly higher, if I remember well, something like 20 million higher than the one reported at full year. I would like to understand what is this impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Mapelli. Just on the reverse merge, you're right. Till the third quarter, differences between the Common Equity Tier 1 calculated at the La Scogliera level and the same rate calculated at Banca IFIS sub-consolidated level was use the word negligible. I could share your word. Point is that in the after that we completed the merge of Interbanca, and this had a material effect due to the way in which the minorities effect impacted before and after the merge. The explanation is quite has to deal with the CRR directive, in which the calculation has been conducted at a different level. Till Banca IFIS was the point of reference, we had to cut a relatively small part of minorities from Banca IFIS equity. After the merge, the capital, the equity of Banca IFIS after the merge, more or less increased by a significant way, let's say, I could say 500 million, something more probably, and the effect of the minorities impacts on the excess of capital in respect of the regulatory minimum applied at the Banca IFIS level. So it is quite difficult to explain like this. We need to better show it with an Excel file. But trust me, the difference has to deal with the different impact the minorities of La Scogliera have calculated on a different level of equity for Banca IFIS after the merge of Interbank.
Okay, as far as the second question, so economic scenario and competitive arena on, let's say, lending, nothing, I would say, very different as compared to the first 9 months of this year. But Of course, the work that we have done during the year, okay, starts to give us the first signals and the first expected results. So on one side, the interest, let's say, interest, the very low level of interest doesn't allow, okay, to really have profitable operations with big corporates. Okay, liquidity is pushing down still the interest rates. Okay, and no risk attitude for the banks, let's say, who are willing to lend money. Okay, no risk at all. Okay, is I would say the mantra of the lending today. So of course this means that where reduced risk is where we have, let's say, the areas where the risk is reduced, the margins are very low, operations are even no profitable. Areas where the risk could be considered, let's say, higher, interest could be achieved are higher. At the same time, the know-how of the valuation and of the people that are responsible for the lending is in understanding where to put the level of the risk for the bank, how the correct price for that, and at the same time to put in place the operations that could balance, let's say, or could neutralize part of the risk. That is, the real banker job today. So, again, there is a market there, mainly composed by small companies, which after the 5 years or 7 years crisis survive. They are ready to grow with, business models that could achieve, could compete at international levels. They need support, and today we are the bank that could support them with different services. Again, our job is in understanding which kind of risk we are incurring and how we can neutralize that, or if we can neutralize entirely or partially that. As far as loan loss provisions, you are absolutely right in saying that as far as corporate banking, so the sum of different, subsegments in the 9 months was more positive than the 20 million euro reported, 20.5 million euro reported at the end of the year. But again, you can see that we lend money, okay, this year, and this has to deal more with, operations that were done before. Operator?
Okay, the next question comes from Luigi Tramontana with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. First question is on the reversal of the PPA, which is, as you pointed out, was higher than expected last year, more than 120 million written back through the P&L. So can you please give us a guidance for 2018 and eventually 2019 to understand where we can position the results of the corporate banking and leasing segments for this year and next year? The second question is on, again, the reverse merger. Can you give us any indication of the funding structure of La Scogliera, just to understand if there's going to be any impact on the economics of Banca Ifis after the merger? Many thanks.
Okay. Luigi, as far as the reversal of the PPA is concerned, you're right in saying that the impact was higher than expected at the budget level, but already mentioned to the market, let's say, during the quarter conferences call, mainly the last one, okay, where already in the 9 months was over 80 million euro. So 120 is more or less what we were expecting, let's say, during the last 3-4 months to reach as far as reversal of PPA. Total amount has not changed. So total amount, over 470 million euro, okay, has not changed. And the impact, the positive impact on the profit and loss account has to deal with the release of the assets correlated to the total, to this amount. We can give you, and I'm giving you, the 60 to 80 million euro expected impact for 2018, but again, this has to deal with something that is not all in our hands. Has to deal with the activities correlated, okay, with the release of the activities correlated. That depends also of, from the counterpart.
As regards the reverse merge, La Scogliera has and will have at the moment of the finalization of the merge, has today and will have no financial loans, no financial position. La Scogliera has the activity of La Scogliera is limited to maintaining a stake of Banca Isis, so you can easily imagine that the impact is in terms of profit and loss of Banca Isis is absolutely not material, is nil, is zero. That's all. I think I have nothing else to say. You can imagine that if we merge, reverse merge, a company that has a structure of the financial report, that is, in the asset side, the shares of Banca Isis, and on the liability side, the equity, and that's all. You can easily imagine that the story will be more or less that the shares of Banca Isis in today in the hand of La Scogliera will be assigned directly to the shareholders of La Scogliera, and that's all, nothing else to say.
Okay, thanks. So I understand there is no debt in La Scogliera.
That's fine.
Okay, fine.
That's correct.
Just another question on the NPL area. It was interesting, this indication you gave us that the cash collection on the 2015 portfolios was 130% the expected rate. My questions on the NPL area are, first, which are the collection times on the same portfolios? So the average time for the recovery that is embedded in your assumptions. And second question is on the acquisition price of the new portfolios. So you bought 4.7 billion euros of new portfolios in 2017. What was the average price on GBV? I remember that previous year was around 6%, and wanted to know if it's increasing or it's remaining stable. Many thanks.
Okay, so as far as the price that I can give you is just really the calculation on the net book value, 799 on 13 million euro, okay, that has changed, let's say, at the end of 2017 at 6.1%, coming from 5.7%. So you can see that there is an impact in the, of increasing average cost. of increased average cost, but is not so big as someone could expect.
Sorry to interrupt you. The question was not on the stock, it was on the new portfolios
yes,
acquired.
Yes, I understand, but what I tell you is that the prices, to me, is let's say for us, is not allowed to give to anyone by contract, okay? And what I can give you as a suggestion is to, on one side, to see how much we bought, 4.7 billion in 2017. And the increase in price reported is for 40 basis points. Okay. So what I want to tell you is that as compared to the past, it's true that in 2016 we bought at higher price on average, but not as much as people is expecting. Okay? That is the kind of feeling that I want to give you, not being able to give you any number on that. Okay? And this is one thing. The second point that you asked was about collection. Collection rate at the end of 2017 is over 20%. Putting together, okay, either the cash and the other, let's say, areas or products that we are, let's say, that we use during the collection phase. A more precise number we will give to you probably as expected ACR for March. We promise to review the set of numbers that we are giving to you. We will deliver that by March, by end of first quarter. What I can tell you is that no one today in Italy, okay, is achieving same collection rates, okay, and no one in Italy today is, let's say, has the possibility to pay the same prices that we can, achieving the same yields on these portfolios, on portfolios on sale.
Yes, once again, Mara, thank you, but my question was on the time frame of the collection.
On the time frame. Yes, over the time frame is the portfolios that you refer and I mentioned during the call. So portfolios bought after 2015. The first 3 years for us are very important in terms of collections, okay?
The next question comes from Christian Carrese, Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just a clarification. From a regulatory point of view, the regulator was looking at the 11.66 Common Equity Tier 1 ratio. And so thanks to the reverse merger, you're going to basically to raise capital, we have to take as a reference the 15.6%. So this is one of the reasons why you're going to do the reverse merger?
To increase capital, not to raise.
Sí, to increase. Raise in the sense increase the ratio.
Yes, you're right. Increase the ratio, not asking money to anyone.
Okay. But at the same time, you're going to pay a higher dividend this year, 1 euro per share. I mean, the proposal is 1 euro per share. So I was wondering why, because you're expecting this merger to increase capital, so you are already ready to pay higher dividend, or there is any other reason on this. The second question is on the NPL business, the DRL division. What do you expect in terms of collection rate? And I saw that you are speeding up the process to accelerate the collection. So if you can give us a guidance on 2018 in terms of collection and net banking income for for the division. And finally, on maybe I missed the answer on the trade receivable segment. You said about one significant position. So the recurring cost of risk was around 70 basis points net of the one-off. What do you see? Do you see any deterioration on this cost of risk as to be taken as a sustainable level also for 2018?
As regards the reverse merger again, first of all, and the dividend policy, of course, the reverse merger is something that we will close in, we expect to close, of course, we need to have the authorization of the regulators, but we think to close the merger during the summer, so in a very short lapse of time. As regards the dividend policy, listen, €1 is, if you compare €1 with the profit per share, well, it is quite low in respect of the habit of the market,
average
brand benchmark, if you want. We have 3.5 euro per share, probably, and or something like this, and we are issuing €1. I cannot say this is an aggressive dividend policy, even if the increase is material in respect of other years. Of course, the increase, the raise in the regulatory aspects linked with the merge allow us to stay more close to the policy that we declared before 3.4 profit per share. Well, I'm saying that the capability in terms of regulatory capital allow us to stay more close to the traditional policy that Banca IFIS has had in the past to issue as a dividend something between one third and half of the profit. This has been an historical policy that in the last years has been reduced, but due to the level of regulatory capital that we will have thanks to the merge, to the reverse merge, we could in the future go more close at this target and direction. It is not yet a guidance, but it is a tradition that Banca IFIS has had in the past. And we think that saying like this could put together a satisfaction for the shareholders and a support for the capability of the growth of our bank.
So you are assuming higher net profits next year, even if there should be a lower contribution from the reversal of the PPA, because Mara said the guidance it depends, then it's not yet clear, but it should be 60-80 million euro PPA reversal of the PPA in 2018 compared to the over 120 million this year. So still you're expected to increase the dividend next year.
We are on the market because we are fighting on the market every day because we want to give to our bank and to our shareholders the best satisfaction. The idea we have is that if we could have a growth in the net profit for 2018 in the area, even with the point that you put in evidence, in the area of high single digit, maybe
net profit.
Maybe in terms of net profit, high single. I could say high single digit.
That forecast of expected net growth for 2018 comes also with an expected growth of the NPL net banking income margin in the range of 40% again. So is a steadily growing, astonishing growing area in the bank.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Simonetta Chiriotti with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions. The first one is if it is possible to have the breakdown of the provisions of the corporate banking segment between release of previous provisions and new provisions. And the second question is on the DSO that you have mentioned have decreased during the year. If you could comment more on this, and in particular if this refers to the B2B segment or to the pharma segment or both. And for what regards NPL, looking at the breakdown of the book value in slide 8, there is a decrease in the value of the waiting for the workout part that is from the first half to 9 months and year end that is due clearly to an acceleration of the activity as you have mentioned, but also if we look previously they were at 5.4% net on gross value, and now they are at 3.7%. If you could help us to understand this trend, so what is remaining to be worked out is at a lower book value. This means that these are assets that can on which you can extract less value, or the interpretation is different. Thank you.
Ciao Simonetta. Well, let's start about your last question. Okay. So, what is recorded in waiting for the workout is historical price. Okay, is a stock at historical price. No interest, let's say, is created by this stock. So no positive or negative impact on the P&L account, first of all. And secondly, there we are putting everything that is waiting for the onboarding, so in staging, as we call it. Okay? Depending if we are buying on the first market, so on the origination market, or in the secondary market, so the prices are different, but doesn't change the interest yield that the bank is expecting and the committee is, agreeing on when they decide to make the offer. Okay. So the fact that you are seeing 3.7 correctly, as you said, we round at 4% level or 5% level depends from what it's on staging there. Probably what came into the flow was, a portfolio or were portfolios, that were bought on the origination side. The price was higher, so that is the reason why today you are seeing 4%, 3.7. It's not something that has to deal with a different, different problem. Okay? As far as the DSO, it's what I mentioned was the DSO that has to be related with the entire B2B segment, meaning by that the entire corporate business of Banca Ifis, that has to deal either with pharma or with the private companies and private enterprises, or with what we are calling outright purchase. Okay,
so it's the whole business.
Sorry?
It's the whole factoring business, basically.
The entire trade receivable business, correct.
Okay. And the breakdown of the corporate banking provision, is possible to have it between releases?
Not really now, on preliminary numbers. So we will give that when we will have the entire details, so in March, at the beginning of March, 6th of March, if I'm correct, when the board of directors will approve the full set numbers.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Giacomo Chiorino with Banca Patrimoni Sella. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. My question is a little bit outside your very, very nice data, company data. Can you give us a picture on your, or at least your feeling on the fact that some of your competitors, foreign competitors, are being basically targeted by short sellers and hedge funds? I'm talking about the Swedish and the UK company. It seems quite strange, as the market is still very positive, and there seems to be no reason, maybe apart from the good performance of stocks. What's your feeling on that? Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Chiorino, could you repeat the question, because I don't catch the core of the question. Sorry.
The question is, what's your view on the fact that some of your competitors have been targeted by short sellers? Basically, hedge funds are short various stocks. I'm talking about Intrum and Hoist and Arrow. And it seems rather strange, as the market is quite good. I mean, the market you are operating in is in good conditions, and there seems no reason for that. So if you have a feeling on that.
Difficult to say. Difficult to comment. Difficult to speculate on an issue like this. To me, it seems that there are, I could agree that so far the sector, the piece of the market, is in good shape to me, and to me it seems that the change that is on the market in this moment is on the side, on the direction of a transformation for the most part of the players from for being concentrated in buying at the best price possible, but today is not more present because the prices are higher than 2, 3, 4 years ago, to into players able to maximize the recovery and so manage at best the assets they have in the portfolio, helped in this from the macroeconomic recovery on the European environment. This is a point that could help, absolutely will help, the recovery rate in Italy and Europe. To me, it seems that the moment is good, not that the moment is difficult. But that said, the choices of the of the market, the choices of the shareholders, or the choices of the hedge funds that are involved in these businesses out of my comments, out of my willing to say a word. So.
As far as business so is concerned, what I personally can add is that in the market in the last months we saw a lot of M&A activity in this business, okay? So a change of mindset from price at which I buy, which the Arrow, Crook, Intrum, so these companies were buying portfolios, so from price to recovery rates, okay, where the size makes a difference. There are players which are concentrated only on big size portfolios and others only on small one portfolios. And the reason is not always linked to the, let's say, strong to the possibilities, so to the liquidity on the or on the strength of the institution, but is linked to the, let's say, different possibility of reaching targets, let's say, on the different size of the portfolios. I see that, of course, pioneers, as ourselves, had some years where we could try, you know, which was best, and to choose what today give us good results. The others that are coming later, of course, are taking what is remaining in the market. So even that. In terms, for example, of collection rates, that makes a difference. So I'm speaking more from the business point of view rather than the fund manager's point of view. Of course, I'm convinced that fundamentals is giving, let's say, the real value of the companies.
Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Simonetta Chiriotti with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, just a very quick one. For what regards the targets, the business plan and so on, are you planning to update the 2019 targets in the coming months or not, also in view of the small acquisition that you have made in the last weeks? Thank you.
We were saying really that we wanted to update the market with the strategic plan, but we are convinced that today we are not far from where we stated targets last year for 2019. Probably the quality, the mix could be reached in a different way, okay? Having some businesses stronger than expected, others that are coming, let's say, that are achieving lower than expected growth rates. Okay, but we are convinced that we could achieve the, let's say, target of increasing the earnings as stated. So we don't think that we need really to present any additional strategic plan today, okay, even due to the acquisitions that are quite small, not transforming as the one that we had during 2016, so the Interbanca Group. We are really concentrated in delivering results, in executing today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Bossi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you so much to everyone for participating into this conference call, and thank you for your interest.
Thank you to everybody.
Bye.